Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beyond the Matrix with Rod Bryant and Jerry Gordon here on Israel News Talk Radio. Unplug, strap yourself in, because you are about to move beyond the Matrix.
Welcome to Beyond the Matrix. I'm Rod Bryant, along with my amazing co-host, Jerry, the J-Man Gordon. And we are sponsored by TorahLearningChannel.com. TorahLearningChannel.com. You must go over to the Torah Learning Channel and look at the amazing setup of rabbis that we have. We have over, I think, 60 or 70 different English rabbis from all over the country, actually all over the world, that teach Torah lessons in English, a great place to study and learn. TorahLearningChannel.com. Jerry, we have an amazing guest coming on today, and I think what's so encouraging is you and I many times are pointing the red flags to areas of conflict, and today, though, we're going to be addressing those. We're going to be taking a different look. We're going to change the prism around a little bit. Why don't you give a little bio on our guest that we're getting ready to have after the break?
Well, our bio is an amazing guy. Firstly, he's an Orthodox Jew. He spent 28 years as an expert in Turkish and Islamic affairs. In fact, he has a doctorate from one of my alma maters, Columbia University, in those topics. But he also has been an eyewitness to sea changes in the Middle East. He's also a distinguished fellow at the Gatestone Institute. His name is Dr. Harold Rode. He is considered the savior of the Iraqi Jewish archives. And I have interviewed him a number of times on that, as well as his adventures lecturing annually in China.
Yeah,
we'll hear more about that on this program.
Absolutely. And look, let me tell you, what's really exciting is he has there's a perspective that he's coming from, and that is really truly being a light to the nations and having his ear on the sort of railroad track of geopolitical circumstances, and also contributing to bringing positive change in the world. So we're really excited to have Harold on the show. So you don't want to go anywhere. Stick around. Jerry and I will be back in just a couple of minutes after the break with our very special guest. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio. Don't change the channel. Stick around.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we are in the first segment of the show. Thank you so much for joining us. Jerry, let's introduce our guest.
Our guest is an amazing human being. His name is Dr. Harold Rode. He is an eminent scholar in Turkish and Islamic affairs. He spent 28 years of his active life in the Office of Secretary of Defense in something called the Office of Net Assessment, where he was the go-to person on these very same issues. More importantly, he is also known as the savior of the Iraqi Jewish archives, which is still a matter of controversy.
Yes, it is.
Between the United States government and the government of Iraq. And that is essentially some of the background of our guest today.
So, Harold, we're going to pick your brain because we know right now you are in Macedonia. Do you care to give us
That's right.
An opening as to why?
Sure, I was invited, believe it or not, to give a lecture on the Iraqi Jewish Archives, what it is, why it's important for the identity for the Iraqi Jewish community. And the Jews in Macedonia, they're very few of them, but they are interested in also in how do you maintain your identity. And so that's why I'm here.
What is the amount or the level of the archives? What makes this so important?
Well, it is, for all intents and purposes, the archives of the Jewish community of Baghdad. When the Jews left Iraq overwhelmingly in 1950-51, they weren't allowed to take anything more than a suitcase. They weren't allowed to take their family documents. They weren't allowed to take anything, 50 dinars, which was no money. And no one knew what happened to the archives. Well, it ends up that when America liberated Iraq in 2003, we found the part of the Jewish community's archives in the intelligence headquarters of Saddam Hussein. And that's it.
Well, there's a little more than that, Harold. This was really an amazing activity.
Okay.
on the part of
he's a modest man.
People, both in Iraq and in Washington, D.C., and involved, I think, the National Archives and Records Agency, who basically restored these archives. Why don't you tell us
That's
a little
true.
Bit about that episode?
Well, thanks to then Vice President Cheney and Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld, who expressed interest in the archives, they were brought to the United States. They were rescued underwater and restored. The American government, the National Archives, did a beautiful, beautiful job in restoring what they could. The rest was buried in traditional Jewish fashion, what you do with documents, because if they have God's name on them, you just can't throw them away. You have to bury them. And we're waiting right now from a decision from the White House, hopefully to allow this material to stay in the United States, because there are no Jews in Iraq. This is their personal heritage. And Iraqi Jews, or people who left Iraq long ago, don't have access to it. And if it would go back to Iraq. But if it's in the United States, or where 90% of the descendants of the Jews who left Iraq live, which is in Israel, then they could see it. It's not just that you can see all the material on the net. And the National Archives of the United States did a marvelous, marvelous job on restoring and putting them, digitizing them, beautiful copies.
So,
I want to tell you from personal experience that it's one thing to see them, but when you touch the documents that your ancestors were there when they were put together, it's just an awesome feeling. It connects you with your past and strengthens your identity.
Harold, there's an Iraqi Jewish museum in Israel. Is that a possible place
yes.
that could be the repository for the archives?
Well, it could be, but I think for the moment, probably the easiest thing to do. There are two Jewish museums in New York, one of Sephardic Jewish heritage and one general Jewish heritage, which could house the documents, at least for the time being, if that is the decision that the government makes. Let's hope that whatever happens, they don't go back to Iraq. What we know is that the Iraqi government at the moment is incapable of storing and guarding anything.
That's for sure.
Now, what about
Harold?
Okay, let me ask one quick question, Harold. What would be
sure.
the probably the most valued or maybe even aged or ancient documents that are there?
Well, if I recall correctly, there is the third part of the Bible from a Jewish point of view, which includes the Psalms, Proverbs, the end part of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
Which was printed in, I think, in 1547, if I'm correct, in Venice.
Wow.
And there was a copy in these archives. But frankly, from an individual point of view, there are school records, there are pictures, there are communal records,
Wow.
It's not just the religious documents, but it's the personal documents of the people who are mostly, again, in Israel or their descendants.
So invaluable for genealogical purposes, really.
Yes, and I would say emotional
right.
reasons as well.
Right.
Because, again, it's not that you can get the information. You can get the information on the net.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're there, and I have personal experience with it, my family happens to be from Lithuania. And when I got the information from the archives there, but when I was in Lithuania and got and actually saw the documents where my ancestors 200 years ago
yeah.
were there when they were prepared and they touched these documents, it meant the world to me.
Wow. Wow. Jerry?
Harold, another part of your expertise is in the news these days. Erdogan's Turkey seems to be flailing around and in many ways failing economically, but also geopolitically. What's going on there?
Well, the man's a dictator. All sorts of dictators try to find democratic ways or like elections to rationalize why they do what they do. The man can do anything he wants in the country. The legal system is answerable to him. Everything is. But the problem is that Turkey is a country filled with conspiracies, and Erdogan has decided that, number one, that the coup, which was supposedly launched against him, I suspect that he launched it himself a few years ago, that he did it as an excuse just to take over dictatorially. He blames the United States for this. In the Middle East, nobody takes responsibility. You always blame everybody else. That's true with the Palestinians. It's true with Iran. It's true with Turkey. After all, no leaders, for reasons of personal honor, can ever take responsibility because then they will be shamed by their own people. And that shows weakness. If you remember when Netanyahu, President Obama basically arranged that Netanyahu said that, well, if during the Turkish flotilla a few years ago, whatever happened, if anything went wrong that we're responsible, well, then for that we take responsibility, which in Turkey was all over the place. Erdogan put up billboards that said, Netanyahu apologizes to me. In other words, I'm powerful. And Netanyahu was shamed. Well, that maybe is not how we in the West would understand it, but that's Turkey, and that's what Erdogan is doing. And so when President Trump has seen that Turkey has done all sorts of preposterous, illegal things. He's going to not listen to when the sanctions have gone into effect now against Iran as of August the 6th. Everybody is going to have a choice, countries, governments, banks, if you want to trade with America or trade with Iran. Well, Erdogan has basically told President Trump and the American government where they can go. And that's fine and dandy. If he wants only to trade with Iran and won't have access to the international banking system, that's okay. That's his decision. But he will impoverish his own people. And if you look at the value of the Turkish lira, the currency, it's lost, if I'm correct, since the beginning of the year, about 40% of its value. He is impoverishing his own people. If that's okay with them, I don't know what to say. Erdogan basically has one goal. And it's interesting here, being in Macedonia, which is a country just north of Greece, it's part of the same thing. Erdogan wants to be the sultan of the whole Muslim world. To rule the whole Muslim world. And when he, in his last election when he was elected the last time as prime minister, he's now president and then progressed beyond that to dictator. But in his last election as prime minister, you can see on YouTube his victory speech in which he says, this victory here in Turkey is as important as it is in Ankara as it is in Sarajevo. Sarajevo is the capital of Bosnia. It's as important in Istanbul as it is in Damascus. It is as important in Izmir, another Turkish city, as it is in Jenin, Ramallah, and Jerusalem. The point is, I am not only president of Turkey, I am the Muslim ruler. I am going to reestablish control over the entire, what was the Ottoman Empire, the goal of which then was to bring Sunni Islam to the entire world, to convert the whole world. And that's exactly what Erdogan is doing right now in Turkey. Turkey is no longer a reliable ally, NATO ally. I don't understand why it's still in NATO.
We're going to have to take a break right now because we've just actually run to the end of the time. So when we come back, we're going to pick it up about NATO's, about Turkey's involvement in NATO. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Shalom from the heartland of Israel. This is David Ha'ivri. Join me every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 o'clock Eastern, for A Hebrew in the Heartland on Israel News Talk Radio. Hear the news and views from the heartland of Israel every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time. Be there.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And we are back from the break. We really appreciate you sticking around. We are talking to an amazing guest who had some really profound effect, bringing in the archives from Iraq, the Jewish archives from Iraq, and saw to it that they're continuing to be preserved. And we were just talking about Turkey and Erdogan. Jerry, why don't we pick it up and ask the next volley of questions for our guest.
Harold, why should Turkey be in NATO? And isn't it about time we left the Incirlik Air Base?
Why is Turkey in NATO? Well, it was a reliable NATO ally as long as it was under the system founded by Atatürk, the founder of modern Turkey, which was democratic and secular. Whatever imperfections, it was a great ally, and God willing, it will be eventually in the future again when the dictator and this Islamic fundamentalism is gone, if it ever is. I'm not sure about that. But no, it's not a reliable ally. I don't think NATO's goal was that Islam should rule the world, and that certainly is Erdogan's.
Wow. Turning to Iran, sanctions have been imposed on Iran, and yet there's turmoil all throughout the country. How beleaguered does the malocracy in Tehran feel about what's happening? And interestingly, has this given rise to unity amongst the Kurds in Iran fighting the IRGC?
Well, I went through the early and mid stages of the Iranian Revolution in 78 in a university, going to university in northeastern Iran. And there are a lot of similar signs, but there are two basic questions which are important to understand: will this regime survive? And that is, does the will have both the will and the ability to do what is necessary to keep itself in power? I know it wants to, but the Iranian people are losing their fear of the regime. And if you listen to the chants of their riots, and the riots are all over the country, and our wonderful Western media has managed to ignore so much of them, but also on the network, they're available. If the Western media, the American media, wish to report it, but most of the time they don't. Now, having said that, the cries, what they're yelling at the rallies in Iran, death to the dictator, is Khomeini, that's the religious leader. That's a huge thing to say. And cool. Then they're saying, Reza Shah, your spirit should be happy. Now, what does that mean? The last Shah of Iran was the son of the founder of that dynasty, the Pahlavi dynasty. The founder was Reza Shah. He was a great hero. He did his best to to bring Iran into the modern world, as did his son. They made a lot of mistakes, but how do you take a culture which is primitive and not a culture, excuse me, but a country which is backward, primitive, and try to get it into the modern world so people can take advantage of all the great things from medicine to education, whatever. And the people, by saying it, that they, in essence, are shouting statements for the previous dynasty, this has to scare the mullahs who are in power. Now, what? Thank God we have the leadership we do in Washington, and that is President Trump, Vice President Pence, Secretary of State Pompeo, and National Security Advisor John Bolton. They understand very well what they're doing. The Iranians played with the previous administration in the United States. We sort of also wanted to believe their lies. We ignored what we knew was happening under the Obama administration. Now, the people of Iran, they want out. The Iranian government has not abided by the agreements. And all these European countries who frankly really cared most first and foremost about making money are very, very upset. Or America's alone in the world. America is the strongest power in the face of the earth. Nobody matches America. And if President Trump has decided, along with his great advisors, that the Obama-Iran agreement is not in America's interest, which thank God they did, this is slowly going to make life more and more difficult for the regime. They're being squeezed. The Iranian people, if to the best of my knowledge, want nothing more than to rejoin the community of nations as a respectable people. They have a marvelous and fascinating history. They don't, you know, what little money that the government has, it spends on funding terrorism,
right,
in Syria, in Yemen. And if you remember two years ago, Obama sent on pads, $150 billion mm-hmm. in cash? Well, what is interesting is we may be outraged that he did this, but the Iranian people see it differently. See, they got all this money, this regime, they stole it, and they're funding all sorts of activities in all sorts of places, and our lives are awful. And also, if you're listening into the cries, the chants at the rallies all over the country, it is, we don't care about Palestine. We don't care about Lebanon. We don't care about Iraq. We don't care about Yemen. We care about Iran. We love Iran. And our money should go towards us, and that we should, again, this government should, shall we say, the people have got to overthrow. It's not, we shouldn't be involved with that. They should be doing it. And as the regime sees that it is unable to keep itself in power, we will see more and more interesting things. We are seeing this already. You are seeing cracks within the Revolutionary Guards. That's the Iranian army, that they're now publicly complaining about each other. This one's corrupt, that one's corrupt. Come on. In the Middle East, you take power in order to make money,
right,
to rob the state blind. The state is your estate. You can do what you want. And the other thing is, within the mullahocracy, within the mullahs, you now have serious mullahs coming out and questioning each other. All this is going in the right direction. I wish, we should all wish the Iranian people well.
Yes.
That they will overthrow this regime and again be a great ally, as they were in the past, of the United States of America and the forces of freedom in the world.
Well, I tell you, this is very encouraging, but with your ears to the track, what if you could put a probability or percentage of the people's ability to overthrow, what would that be? I mean, where are we at right now?
The Iranian people are very, very good at sensing weakness. This is what I witnessed when there was the previous regime, the Shah, when it was overthrown, what I saw going on the ground. And as these people see more and more that the regime is unsure or unable to do what it's necessary to keep itself in power, this becomes more and that a new regime becomes more and more likely. The young Shah, who lives in the United States, could be a marvelous center, a glue to keep all the Iranians together, to help come up with a new constitution, a new way of doing things, an inclusive way that everybody in Iran, including whoever wants to stay in Iran, should have equal rights under a new constitution. Now, when will we get there? Let's say, God willing. Now, please just, you asked me on percentages, and this is important. Dealing with the future and dealing with politics, it's not a science. There's no such thing to me as political science. It is an art. It's a sense of feel. And I can only tell you that if you examine Iranian history, not just the previous revolution, what you see today in Iran has happened over and over again in the past. And the place is ripe for revolution. And we can only say, God willing, inshallah, God willing, it will happen.
I tell you, that is very encouraging. I guess that when we look at the pressure that's being put on by this current administration, also the sort of olive branch that has been sent over by many different video presentations that the Israeli Prime Minister has done. That's been incredible.
And President Trump.
Yes, absolutely.
And President Trump.
And the brilliant moves, which, the media in the United States has not at all been able to talk about it, because I don't think that they really are interested in giving any credit to this administration.
Absolutely, and they don't like Netanyahu either.
That's true. Turning back, Harold, to the question of the Kurds in Iran.
Now, we only have about a minute, so go ahead.
Very quickly, Harold, what do you think is behind the unity in Iranian Kurds these days, fighting the IRGC?
The problem with the Kurds is that they spend a lot of time killing each other. There's a phrase in Kurdish or a proverb that the Kurds have no friends but the mountains. If they are united, they can do amazing things. But in the past, the Jews argue and scream at each other, but there's a rule, don't kill each other. Maybe the Kurds could, if they could adopt a policy like that, maybe there would be more hope. But let's see. I think that I wouldn't be surprised, let's say, in a year or two, that we see a very different looking Middle East than we do today, and one that we'll like.
Well, God willing, that's what we're going to find. I mean, this sort of shifting paradigm is taking place amongst modern, what I call moderate Muslims in the world. And we hope that they can have a really good platform to be able to stand up and speak. I mean, thank God we do have, and I speak to these people on a regular basis, and they're out there. It's just giving them a voice and a platform. We have to go to a break right now. We'll be right back. You're listening to Beyond the Matrix here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is Ari Folder. I want to invite you all to join me on my weekly show, Bulletproof, here on Israel News Talk Radio. It's the weekly show we discover, expose, and destroy all anti-Israel propaganda that's spread throughout the universe, both from outside Israel, including also inside Israel. Join me every week, and let's defend Israel together.
Bulletproof. Live every Sunday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. U.S. Eastern time.
Welcome back to Beyond the Matrix, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And thank you for sticking around after the break. Jerry, you had asked a question before we went into the break, but we actually really only have about 5 minutes with our guest. I want to really touch on this whole idea between Israel and Saudi Arabia and its relationship right now. Jerry?
Harold, there have been overtures about a tacit relationship or alliance, pardon me, between Israel and Saudi Arabia. How realistic is that?
Well, let's call it a tactical alliance. The Saudis and the Israelis and a lot of other Gulf countries have one thing in common, a hatred of the regime in Iran, a fear of the regime in Iran. Once the regime changes, the question is, can that be sustained? I'm not so sure. The basis is they're all Sunni regimes. Iran is Shiite, and Shiites are the minority in the Muslim world. They're about 12% of the whole Muslim population. Sunnis are about 86%. And the question is, can it be sustained for the future? I'm not so sure. What I am sure is that there are many, many people throughout the Muslim world, especially, let's say, the Arab world and in Iran, we all swim in a Sunni sea. And the that involves the Christians, the Alawis who are at the moment running or who mostly are on the coast of Syria, on the Mediterranean coast, and now in Damascus as well. The Yazidis, there are all these groups. The Christians, there are various types of Christians, and the Jews. Now, they all have something in common, is they all swim in the Sunni Sea, and as the late, great Professor Bernard Lewis, who died last May at the age of 102, as he invariably said, their attitude is simple. I'm right, you're wrong, go to hell. And there's only their narrative, the Sunni narrative. That's the narrative of President Erdogan, among other things. He's a Sunni. And the question is, just maybe all of these minorities who have a similar interest, they want to survive. Otherwise, they got to leave. The Druze in Israel, the Druze all over the Middle East as well, have the same thing. Now, what is interesting is that a lot of times Americans get involved abroad and then they get bored and they run away. That's what we did in Iraq. We abandoned Iraq and helped it disintegrate by doing so, just as it was really beginning to do well. Now, there is one group that all of them, the Shiites have no particularly good relationship with the Jews historically, but the Shiites are watching Israel like hawks. And what they see is that the Israelis are standing up for themselves, that they're strong, that they believe in themselves. And the question is, can they rely on Israel? I know this sounds very strange, but what is important for all of them is that that Israel is this enormous power that most Israelis don't even understand. It's an awesome power. That the rest of the Middle Eastern non-Sunnis may be able to have some more, let's say, strategic alliance, because they all have an existential problem. How do you deal with the overwhelming majority, which is Sunni? And again, as I quoted the late Professor Bernard Lewis, it's only their way. There is no other narrative. And that is, again, that is President or dictator Erdogan to a T, and it is a lot of the other Sunnis in the Arab world. Well, in the future we'll see.
Well, I tell you, with that being said, I know that you have to go, but the idea that a stable Israel makes a stable Middle East is so true, and it's because of that power that Israel yields. Jerry, you have one more question before we go.
Well, it's really not.
If you don't mind, on that point, I am looking at this not from an American point of view. My whole analysis is from how the Muslims, how the Middle Easterners are seeing things.
Right.
So it's there's no doubt that Israel and America are essential, absolutely essential players here. But this is how the Middle Easterners are seeing it. It is one of the most dangerous and crazy places on the face of the earth. As we've heard, Prime Minister Netanyahu said, it's not a nice part of the world. People do awful things to each other, and people are looking to Israel throughout the Middle East for leadership.
Yes.
To stand up. And let's hope that things will continue the way Netanyahu is doing now, because Israel has become an awesome, both political, military power. It believes in itself, and thank God with this new nation state law that Israel is a nation state of the Jewish people. What that really, the ramifications of that is that it helps, shall we say, Israelis understand why their state is important and that why it should be defended. And a lot of minorities will say, we need that too.
Harold, that is why one U.S. media, U.S. News and World Report, ranked Israel as the 8th most powerful country in the world.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, and the thing is think about it. A nation so small as far as landmass is concerned, having that type of position in the world is mind-boggling.
Yep, absolutely.
It's credit to Israeli and Jewish brain power, and to a degree, chutzpah.
And credit to our God who has allowed Israel to survive through all of the turmoil and difficulties. We really appreciate you coming on the show. We know that you have a tight schedule and you have to go. Hopefully we'll have
you
back here real soon.
I got to go.
You take care. We'll see you. Shalom.
Bye.
God be with you.
Thank you. Thank you very
much. Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem.
Okay. I'll see you guys.
Okay, thank you. Jerry, you know, we were in this discussion. We only have just a few more minutes left in the show. I tell you, this show today gave me chills. I can't explain why. I don't know what the difference is. We talk about a lot of issues in the Mideast. Most of them are pointing out predominantly the negative aspects of conflict between the Palestinians and Israel and Syria and Iran. But this was a very heartwarming discussion that really is encouraging.
Well, it is encouraging, and Harold is optimistic, despite the fact that he knows the realities of what happens in the Muslim, particularly the Sunni world, as well as the Shia. But he also talks about the aspirations of others in the Middle East who are non-Islamic that may be key to the makeup of the new Middle East.
Right, right.
And primary among them is this stunning development of a nation of what? Less than 9 million people, which is diverse amongst itself, that is ranked high up in the world firmament of countries of power. And it is, as you rightfully said, and you heard the chorus from Dr. Rode, it is a tribute to Hashem's covenant with his people.
Right. And you know, God willing... And we say this all the time in our normal conversation, Jerry, but the world needs to understand, and those who are listening to Beyond the Matrix, Israel is here to stay. Israel's not going anywhere. And by Hashem's and by God's loving kindness, will continue to prosper and do well. And a very prosperous, and this is something else I didn't add to that comment about a stable Israel is a stable Mideast, but a prosperous Israel, if the world could understand that a prosperous Israel means a prosperous world, if the world could get on board and understand that if they would make peace with Israel, and when I talk about the world, I'm talking about the Arab Sunni world, if they could make peace with Israel to say we could prosper if we make peace and decide to have peace. Go ahead.
During one of the breaks in our discussion with Dr. Rode, he pointed out his annual trek to China, of all places.
Oh, yes. You got to tell about this.
We only have about a minute. Chinese are enthralled with the way the Jews and particularly Israelis think. And they finally have come to recognize that it's very hard to replicate inside China.
And tell, I don't know if you can remember the phrase, but tell them what they ended up sort of coming to an understanding about the whole idea. We can't really replicate it. What is it that the Jews have different than the Chinese or the rest of the world? It's not that they're smarter, but what is it?
It's the out-of-the-box thinking.
Yes.
That comes from study of the Gemara and the Midrash and the traditions.
Right. So
and that is something the Chinese recognize they can't replicate.
And this is interesting. The word, the phrase, I think he said, this is what they said. The Jews have the ability to imagine the unimaginable.
That's correct.
An incredible thing, but that is a gift from the Creator. And to be honest with you, anyone who really connects to the Creator can have that gift. And that is, if you can imagine, and if you can conceive a Creator of the universe who has no body, who has no corporal, you know, image, you are imagining the unimaginable. And if you can do that, man, amazing things can happen. I forgot to mention, Jerry, we're just about out of time, but we are sponsored by Torah Learning Channel, TorahLearningChannel.com. Don't forget to make this a part of your regular Torah learning. We really appreciate Torah Learning Channel sponsoring Beyond the Matrix. We want you to go there today, TorahLearningChannel.com, available on YouTube, Roku, Amazon Fire, many different platforms. Make it a part. Some of the best English Torah teaching in the world. Jerry, we're going to have to say shalom to our guests.
Shalom.
And everyone else. Thank you for listening to Beyond the Matrix. We'll chat with you next week.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Hey, this is Jake in Anchorage, Alaska, and I love listening to all the super interesting interviews and up-to-date information on what's happening in Israel.
Hello, this is Anna King, originally from London, now living in Israel. And what can I say? Israel News Talk Radio is my cup of tea.
My name is Bhaskar. I'm from India, and I love listening because you get to know the truth and wonderful voices from this lovely country.
Mom!
Okay, wait a minute.
Hi, this is Chava Dax, and I'm calling for the rolling hills of Maale Adumim, just north of Jerusalem. I always listen to Israel News Talk Radio to get all the latest news and commentary and to keep me up to date every day.
This is Sarah Dax from Maale Adumim, and I'm 12. I wish Israel News Talk Radio was boring so my mom wouldn't listen to it all the time. Mom!
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.